talking politics. We saw a tragic shooting in a movie theater in Colorado, Superstorm Sandy devastating huge sections of the Northeast, and an attack at a U.S. consulate in Libya. We'll touch on them all and then some. Join Fox News Radio's worldwide team of reporters for 2012, a year to remember.
Be listening this New Year's Day, Tuesday morning at 8 here on AM 1460 KCNR.
KCNR 1460 kicks off 2013 with a new lineup that includes new faces and familiar friends. Following Free Fire Radio, Mike Huckabee from 9 to 12 noon. Laura Ingram makes her triumphant return from 12 to 3, followed by Dennis Miller to round out your afternoon. It all starts January 2nd right here on KCNR 1460. Happy New Year.
A very happy New Year.
This is a Fox News Radio special, The Way They Were. I'm Hank Weinblum. It's a sad truth, death is a fact of life, people die every day. And every year, important, notable, famous people die. But this year, 2012, struck us as different. For those of us who grew up in the second half of the 20th century, watching TV and movies, listening to music, following politics and sports, the deaths of 2012 seemed to mark a turning of the page, or maybe a closing of the book on parts of the 20th century. In the next hour, we'll open that book again to remember the men and women who inspired us, made us laugh, made us cry, who completed their journey through life in 2012. The music you're hearing is, of course, The Way We Were. Music was written by Marvin Hamlisch. He died this year. Together, let's listen and remember and celebrate The Way They Were.
Perhaps the final descent to the lunar surface was, for me, the highlight.
We begin with a giant leap by a quiet man from Wapakoneta, Ohio. Neil Armstrong, a Navy test pilot who joined the astronaut corps, was picked for what could be considered the most significant event in human history, to be the first person to walk on another world.
It's very challenging. There are a lot of unknowns.
July 20th, 1969.
Tranquility Base here. The Eagle has landed.
The lunar module carrying Armstrong and Buzz Aldrin landed on the moon's Sea of Tranquility. Then, as the world watched in amazement and in grainy black and white, Neil Armstrong climbed down the ladder to the moon's surface.
I'm going to step off the limb. That's one small step for man. The surface is fine and powdery. I can pick it up loosely with my toe.
After they returned to Earth, there were parades and other honors for Armstrong and his crewmates, but mostly he just wanted to fade from public view.
Fly me to the moon and let me play among the stars.
They sang this at Armstrong's funeral in August. His family issued a statement that seemed to capture his humility. It said simply, "The next time you walk outside on a clear night and see the moon smiling down at you, think of Neil Armstrong and give him a wink."
Listen, all you want to do is ride around Saturday.
It was a giant leap for womankind. Sally Ride answered a newspaper ad looking for workers for the space program. She went on to become the first American woman to go into space.
It meant a lot to me to be the first woman that was chosen.
We go for main engine start.
A 1983 space shuttle mission.
Ignition and liftoff of STS-7 and America's first woman astronaut.
I just wanted to get the opportunity to do that.
At news conferences, she was asked questions like, "Will going into space affect your reproductive organs?" and "Do you cry when things go wrong?" Things went very right for Sally Ride, a true pioneer and role model.
People ask, where do you get your ideas? Well, right here.
Thanks to the ideas of Ray Bradbury, we all traveled into space.
You're a ghost.
Me?
You?
No.
The Martian Chronicles, one of the many flights of Ray Bradbury's brilliant imagination. Readers old and young devoured his stories in The Illustrated Man. Bradbury was at a library surrounded by books when he wrote about Burning Books, a story that became his classic Fahrenheit 451.
Burn the books, Montag.
Bradbury dreamed up things that hadn't been invented yet, like ATMs at banks and Bluetooth headsets and artificial intelligence. For a while there, it seemed like just about every song you heard was written by Marvin Hamlisch in the movies.
Please, don't let this feeling end. It might not come again. And I want to remember.
Dozens of film scores. This is from Ice Castles.
One singular sensation.
On Broadway, he was a singular sensation, a chorus line, a still-beloved musical. On TV, he wrote the theme music for Good Morning America. On the radio,
nobody does it better.
His songs became number one hits. He explained the secret to writing music to Charlie Rose on PBS.
You know, it's like building a picture in your mind and slowly but surely translating it into the language of music.
Hamlisch also composed classical music and conducted orchestras. He's among that very small circle to win an Oscar, an Emmy, a Grammy, and a Tony. In college football, he was a legend.
We're always going to be Penn State.
Joe Paterno, for 45 years, the face, brains, heart, and soul of Penn State football.
We're Penn State.
A record 18 bowl game victories.
I'm proud of you. I've always been proud of you.
We're proud of you, man.
Beloved by generations as Joe Pa.
We love you, Joe.
Coach Joe has definitely made this place a better place.
Joe is Penn State and always will be.
All of it tainted by his alleged failure to deal with the Jerry Sandusky sex abuse scandal.
I don't think it's the way he wanted to go up.
Paterno's statue was taken down from outside the stadium. A groundbreaking pioneer with an annoying, infectious laugh. Phyllis Diller was the first woman to make it really big in the male-dominated world of stand-up comedy. Usually making fun of herself or her made-up husband, Fang.
You wouldn't believe the way this man boozes. He can kill a six-pack during an instant replay.
Many of today's stand-up stars say Phyllis Diller opened comedy club doors for women.
His breath is so bad that Dennis works on him through his ears.
For many a young man growing up, sneaking peeks at Playboy magazine, checking out not just the centerfold, but the sports art of Leroy Neiman, we didn't know a Picasso from a Rembrandt, but we knew a Neiman when we saw one.
People that love my paintings, that respond to my paintings the most, they look at me, they're spectators, they're not viewers. They look at it for the experience.
An artist in the field of TV news.
I'm Mike Wallace.
One of the founding anchors of 60 Minutes, Wallace loved a good ambush interview.
Everybody's scuttling like cockroaches around here. I don't understand.
Mike Wallace's roster of famous name interviews, enormous. From Malcolm X.
Are you not, perhaps, afraid of what might happen to you as a result of making these revelations?
Oh, yes. I probably am a dead man already.
To Yasser Arafat.
Mr. Chairman, there are Palestinians who would like to kill you.
Maybe they are opposing me, but not to kill me.
To Dr. Death, Jack Kevorkian.
There's something almost ghoulish in your desire to see the deed done.
It appears that way to you. I can't criticize you for that.
Over a half century of compelling television.
It is not work what I do. I love what I do.
Coming up, the Queen of Disco, and the man who made all of America want to settle down in Mayberry.
Morning, ladies. My goodness, don't you look happy. Must be cutting somebody up pretty good.
Much more ahead on The Way They Were on Fox News Radio.
This is Fox News Talk.
Headline Rewind.
1981.
President Jimmy Carter.
We have now reached an agreement with Iran which will result in the freedom of our American hostages.
I, Ronald Reagan, do solemnly swear that I will faithfully execute the office of President of the United States.
Get up! Get up!
Hands up.
now I am in control here in the White House, pending return of the Vice President.
I have been in labor negotiations for 25 years. The only people that ever win from a strike are the lawyers.
Charles Philip Arthur George, wilt thou have this woman to thy wedded wife so long as ye both shall live?
I will.
MTV is just videos with music.
As a judge, it is not my function to continue to try to develop public policy by means of making the law.
News as it happens then.
News as it happens now.
This is Fox News Talk. Fox News Talk presents
Political Pop.
In the days of steel mills, the workday began with the blowing of a steam whistle. And so starts Billy Joel's Allentown, which deals with Americans coping with the demise of American manufacturing in the late 20th century.
Well, we're living here in Allentown, and they're closing all the factories down. No, they never told us what was real. Iron and coal, chromium and steel. And we're waiting here in Allentown. But they've taken all the coal from the ground. And the union people broke away.
A song that resonates with the world economic condition today.
Music with a meaning.
That made a difference.
From Fox News Talk.
Fox News Talk salutes our listeners in the first state of Delaware.
Well, I'm going to hit that highway. They call Highway 95. Well, I'm going to hit that highway. They call Highway 95. Well, I'll cruise back to you, baby. I'll make your heart come alive. Well, I grew up with the rock and roll, but these blues wouldn't leave me alone. Well, I grew up with the rock and roll, but these blues wouldn't leave me alone. I didn't know what they meant till I rambled far from home.
Thanks for listening to Fox News Talk, and stay tuned as we continue our salute to the 50 states of freedom.
From Fox News Talk, here's another sound memory.
Rod Serling's stories with odd twists and jarring turns set the standard for which all science fiction anthologies are judged. Winning 3 Emmys and an Oscar, the show featured an all-star cast including Robert Redford, Ron Howard, Lee Marvin, and Jonathan Winters, among others. This audio icon of TV pop culture was written by classical composer Marius Constant. Jerry Garcia and the Grateful Dead updated and recorded the theme for the new Twilight Zone that aired for 3 years beginning in 1985.
Stay tuned to hear more sound memories on Fox News Talk. Now, here's another encore presentation from Fox and Friends.
Courtney Thorne Smith.
Healthy Woman did a survey, and they found that women have a lot of questions about Botox Cosmetic.
They do.
And the people at Botox asked if I would speak about my experience, and I said I would be happy to.
Because you have used it for 10 years.
I have used it for 10 years.
Weren't you kind of freaked out because every once in a while you hear a story about somebody whose face gets stuck?
Well, I made sure I went to talk to my doctor. I said I want to look very natural, which I do. People say, what, have you lied about it or something? I said, no one's asked me. I think I look natural. I've looked natural the whole time. And my message is really it's important to go talk to someone who knows what they're doing and know what you want. You can say specifically, look, I still want to have expression. I still want to be able to move my face.
Are you worried about the future of wrinkles if this continues? I mean, what happens to the people that want wrinkles? It's not going to happen if everyone uses it.
You can still have wrinkles. That's the thing.
Yeah. Take a long bath.
Catch Fox and Friends every morning starting at 6. And keep listening for more encore presentations on Fox News Talk.
This is a Fox News Radio special, The Way They Were. I'm Hank Weinblum. We're giving a final salute to some of the notable people who died in 2012. people who entertained us, inspired us, and made our lives better. People like Eugene Polly. Not a household name, but Eugene Polly invented a household product, something we all use, the TV remote control. In a moment, we'll be flipping channels, so to speak, remembering some much-loved TV stars who had their final episodes this year, so to speak. But first, political leaders who have waged their last campaigns.
Truth is a habit of integrity, not a strategy of politics.
The sad political truth for George McGovern, he lost the 1972 presidential election to Richard Nixon in a spectacular landslide, winning only one state. But McGovern, senator from South Dakota, is remembered as a man of deep liberal principles, strongly against the Vietnam War.
I am here as your candidate tonight, in large part because during four administrations of both parties, a terrible war has been charted behind closed doors.
McGovern lost to Richard Nixon, who then became embroiled in the Watergate scandal. The Nixon White House tapes. President Richard Nixon talking to his special counsel, Charles Colson, who pleaded guilty to obstruction of justice charges. He served 7 months in prison in 1974, but around the same time, Colson became a born-again Christian and spent the rest of his life working to spread Christian ideals.
When you say freedom of religion, it means I am free to act as a citizen, as a Christian in public life.
And Colson never forgot his time in prison, working for decades on improving the physical and spiritual well-being of inmates.
Every one of those inmates I see in that prison is made in the image of God.
A member of the Senate Watergate Committee, Hawaii's Daniel Inouye.
Would you care to recommend to this committee any legislation to prevent the reoccurrence of some of the irregularities that occurred in the 1972 presidential election?
Inouye, a decorated war hero, a quiet senator, not one to give bombastic speeches, but he spoke out memorably about the internment of Japanese Americans during World War II.
None of them had committed any crime.
Another Watergate-era figure, Robert Bork, the Solicitor General under President Nixon, who fired the Watergate prosecutor during the infamous Saturday Night Massacre. He then went on to be nominated to the Supreme Court, a tough time for him.
The advertising and the news stories and so forth became so intense that I got to the point where I didn't watch television, I didn't read the newspaper. Every morning I would say to my wife, hand me the sports section.
Bork came under heavy criticism for his views.
Somebody who hasn't seen it may be quite surprised at the intensity of it.
His name now a verb. Ever since, any presidential nominee who comes under fire from lobbying groups and others is said to have been borked.
For me, it was a very hard decision.
Senator Arlen Specter voted against the Bork nomination in the Judiciary Committee. Specter served sometimes as a Republican, sometimes as a Democrat, but he served.
It's been a great privilege to serve the people of Pennsylvania.
And speaking of public servants who died this year, we now remember a fictional public servant, a sheriff of a little town in North Carolina called Mayberry. The Andy Griffith Show. Andy Griffith was born and raised in North Carolina. He already had a successful career in comedy and in movies like No Time for Sergeants and A Face in the Crowd. But then he took on the role of Mayberry Sheriff Andy Taylor with Don Knotts as his deputy Barney Fife.
Earl Johnson left his key in the car all night.
Well, don't you remember, Barney? That key broke off in there last spring. He can't get it out.
Andy was a widower.
You want me to tell you? I'll tell you. I ain't found the woman I want to marry yet.
Often dispensing homespun advice to his son, Opie.
Well, the thing to do when you're feeling sad is to shoot for the good feeling.
Clean the garage.
Right.
Slong ball.
The Andy Griffith Show was one of the most popular sitcoms of the 1960s. Griffith went on to star in another hit series, Matlock.
I don't have to prove your guilt here and now. I leave that in the skillful hands of the prosecution.
But it was in Mayberry where Andy Griffith became a beloved figure in America. We loved Sheriff Andy. We loved to hate J.R. Ewing. Larry Hagman, the oily, scheming, diabolical oil man in Dallas.
I'm really a nice fella when I get what I want.
Hagman's J.R. Ewing helped propel Dallas to the top of the TV ratings. The season-ending episode where he was shot kept people wondering all summer, who shot J.R.?
J.R.'s golden rules.
And what might they be?
Don't forgive and don't forget. And do unto others before they do unto you.
And most especially, keep your eye on your friends, because your enemies will take care of themselves.
Before he was bad, Larry Hagman was bumbling as astronaut and master in I Dream of Jeannie.
I'm the only astronaut in the program that has a daily nervous breakdown.
The theme to another popular 60s sitcom, McHale's Navy. It starred Ernest Borgnine as the commander of a World War II PT boat.
Oh, Captain! Hey, Captain!
Borgnine won an Oscar for his starring role in Marty.
I'm just a fat little man, a fat, ugly man.
You're not ugly.
I'm ugly.
Marty!
Ma, leave me alone!
His voice remembered by younger fans of SpongeBob SquarePants.
Nothing will stop me from defeating the evil!
On The Jeffersons, Sherman Hemsley showed a 1970s TV audience that an African-American family could be upwardly mobile and funny.
Well, I figure I'll take a long lunch out. Give me scotch and water.
Sir.
You can drink the water.
Chad Everett starred as the skillful, good-looking surgeon on Medical Center.
Hey, Dr. Gannon, whenever you are.
Let's begin. Sponge. Scabble.
Talk show host Gary Collins got to say this every year.
And our new Miss America is Susan Aiken, Miss Mississippi.
And then he got to sing this song.
She is Miss America.
Alex Karras went from the football field to the broadcast booth, to the movies with a featured role in Blazing Saddles.
Mongo only pawn. In Game of Life.
To starring in the sitcom Webster. Richard Dawson was one of Hogan's heroes who somehow made life in a Nazi prisoner of war camp funny.
Cooped up in this box day after day with no contact whatsoever, a man goes to sea.
But survey says we remember Richard Dawson most from hosting Family Feud.
Two families come out, battle it out, and try and win.
Our survey said 17.
Ben Gazzara starred on Broadway and movies in many films directed by his friend John Cassavetes and in the TV series Run for Your Life.
Bias and prejudice, you're bending over backwards so far you're standing on your head.
If you remember Green Acres and Petticoat Junction, you'll remember Frank Cady, the grocer, Sam Drucker.
Have you got any guitar picks?
Yeah, I think you'll find them right over there in the music department between the Ishka Bibble kazoos and the Rudy Valley megaphones.
Ron Palillo created the memorable character Arnold Horseshack on Welcome Back, Kotter.
Good boy, gang. Good boy, Mr. Kotter. It was great fun, but it was just one of those things.
And also dying this year is Welcome Back, Kotter co-star Robert Hedges, who played Juan Epstein. One of my three sons, Don Grady.
Robbie, what did this new girl across the street do to you?
It's not what she did so much as the way she acted, Dad. Like she was queen of the city dump or something.
Herbert Lahm was in the Pink Panther films with Peter Sellers.
There was some question as to whether the beggar or his Minky was breaking the law.
Minky?
What?
You said Minky.
That is correct, yes. Chimpanzee Minky.
Mike, I can't get a tone. Shoot,
Maverick! Director Tony Scott, Top Gun, one of his biggest films. Michael Clark Duncan starred in The Green Mile.
I'm tired of all the pain I feel in here in the world every day. There's too much of it. It's like pieces of glass in my head.
Screenwriter Nora Ephron wrote a number of much-loved films, Sleepless in Seattle, Julie and Julia.
What is it that you really like to do?
Eat.
Silkwood and When Harry Met Sally.
Why are you getting so upset? This is not about you.
Yes, it is. You are a human affront to all women, and I am a woman.
The creator and host of Soul Train.
And now, here is your host, Don Cornelia. Hey, man, welcome aboard. I can guarantee you'll enjoy the ride.
Helen Gurley Brown.
With the creation of my book, Sex and the Single Girl, which said it was okay for single girls to have sex. Ooh, was that naughty.
And editor of Cosmo, Gore Vidal, wrote Myra Breckinridge, famous political sparring partner of William F. Buckley, Jr.
But I assume that to the point of the American democracy,
and some
is you can express
too,
any point of view you want.
Shut up a minute.
No, I won't.
And some people will follow Nazi, and the answer is that...
Battler for the Environment, Barry Commoner.
If we have to pay the debt to nature, it will make a difference who pays.
We're remembering those who died in 2012, people who entertained us or influenced our lives. Coming up, the music makers. This is The Way They Were, a special presentation on Fox News Radio.
The best in Fox News Talk, and the latest from Fox News Radio. This is the place to be.
Fox News Talk.
Fox News Talk.
Here's another encore presentation from Fox and Friends. Elizabeth Hurley.
You've been working with Estee Lauder for 15 years on their breast cancer awareness campaign. It's why you and I are wearing pink. And then you also have a wrist ribbon. Tell me about that.
Well, this was because Evelyn Lauder, who's Estee Lauder's daughter-in-law, came up with the idea for pink ribbon in 1993. And this year we've got a wristlet. Anybody anywhere in the world can go to any Estee Lauder counter, pick up a free pink wristlet this year, and a leaflet about breast health and information.
And I know that it's near and dear to your heart. Your grandmother died of breast cancer. Is that why you got involved?
I did, actually. This is a time when no one spoke about breast cancer. There was no pink ribbon. My grandmother found a lump and didn't tell anyone for a few years because she was embarrassed, ashamed, and scared.
Well,
and that's what it's all about. It's not embarrassing. It is, of course, frightening. But it's curable if detected early in 98% of all cases of breast cancer.
Catch Fox and Friends every morning starting at 6. And keep listening for more encore presentations on Fox News Talk.
Fox News on your time.
The Fox News iPad app is ready to go with all the great features from FoxNews.com and our iPhone app optimized specifically for your iPad.
Watch the latest clips from your favorite Fox News shows.
Personalize the app by creating your own newscast using the video playlist.
Listen to Fox News Radio live.
Get local weather forecasts.
And it's all free.
Go to FoxNews2Go.mobi.
That's Fox News, the number 2, Go.mobi.
Some people would call him a loser. He ran for state office. He was beaten. He started a business. He failed. He ran for Congress. He lost. He was nominated for vice president. He lost again. But he knew only those who never tried are the real losers. And Abraham Lincoln was no loser. Persistence. Pass it on. From the Foundation for a Better Life at values.com.
This is Fox News Talk.
Headline Rewind.
1970.
The student now goes to college to proclaim rather than to learn. The lessons of the past are ignored and obliterated in a contemporary antagonism known as the generation gap.
You just go through a phase of wanting to be up there, you know, in the limelight. But I'm going through a phase now where I don't want to be in the limelight.
Ding! Ali comes out to meet Frazier, but Frazier starts to retreat. If Frazier goes back an inch farther, he'll wind up in a ringside seat. Ali swings with the left. Ali swings with the right. Look at the kid carry the fight.
Everybody just gathered around, organized. And it was orderly. No kids were out of hand. They just wanted to talk. 2 seconds throwing tear gas, and the kids were picking up and throwing them back at the cops. And they chased the kids over the hill. The cops were boxed in. There was kids all around them. All of a sudden, cops got trigger happy and shot kids.
News as it happens. News as it happens.
This is Fox News Talk.
Fox News Talk's Laugh Track.
Jerry Seinfeld.
Available on Uptown Universal.
I'm watching TV. Tell me if you have this happen to you. You're watching TV. It's getting late. You're getting tired. You're starting to fall asleep. You think to yourself, I could get into bed, go to sleep right now. But I don't. I don't go to bed. I fight, sleep, and continue searching for entertainment. No, I got to find a car blowing up somebody naked. I don't care what it is. I got to fight. What is this? Go to bed! The finger that hits the button on the remote control is the last part of the human body to fall asleep. You're out cold. That finger's still going, still looking. It is amazing what people will believe. I watch these infomercials late at night. I start to believe them. And I start thinking, you know, I don't think I could cut through a shoe with any of my knives.
A little laughter to lighten your load. From Fox News Talk.
Online at foxnewstalk.com.
From Fox News Talk, here's another sound memory.
It was originally a series of single-panel cartoons in the New Yorker magazine. The Addams Family is an inversion of the ideal American family who delight in the weird, bizarre, and frightening. It aired on ABC from 1964 to 1966. The catchy theme was written by Vic Mizzi, Dave Kahn, and Ted Cassidy.
They're creepy and they're kooky, mysterious and spooky. They're all together ooky, the Addams Family. The house is a museum.
When people come to see them, they really are a freedom, the Addams Family.
Neat. Sweet. Petite.
Get a witch's shawl on, a rooster you can call on. We're gonna pay a call on the Addams Family.
Stay tuned to hear more Sound Memories on Fox News Talk.
This is a Fox News Radio special, The Way They Were. I'm Hank Weinblum. We're spending this hour talking about some of the notable and interesting people who died during 2012. In the next few minutes, we won't do too much talking. Instead, we'll be listening to the music makers. They wrote, they played, they sang. They gave our lives a soundtrack.
Cheer up, sleepy dream. Oh, what can it mean to a daydream believer and a homecoming queen?
Those of us who were hardcore Beatles fans grumbled about Davy Jones and the knockoff Monkees. They weren't even musicians. They were actors in a TV show. But the music Davy sang was undeniably catchy. Escapist, perhaps, unlike much of the other music in the late 1960s. Songs that carried deep political and social messages, like this Grammy-winning song by Joe South.
The games people play now, every night and every day now, never meaning what they say now, never saying what they mean.
Sometimes the message came from the chemistry of words and melody.
Raindrops keep falling on my head, but that doesn't mean my eyes will soon be turning red. Crying's not for me, 'cause I'm never gonna stop the rain by complaining, because I'm
Hal David wrote the words to Burt Bacharach's melody. In this case, the tune was king. But in some of the monster hits sung by Dionne Warwick, it's the story by Hal David that sticks in your head.
I just can't get over losing you. And so if I seem broken and blue, walk on by.
Or consider these lyrics. What do you get when you fall in love? You only get lies and pain and sorrow. So for at least until tomorrow, I'll never fall in love again. As Mickey Baker of Mickey and Sylvia pointed out, love is strange.
Sylvia!
Yes, Mickey?
How you call your lover boy?
Come here, lover boy.
And if he doesn't answer?
Oh, lover boy.
And if he still doesn't answer?
I simply say,
love has been a dominant music theme for decades. You can go back to the 1950s, to Dorothy McGuire and the McGuire sisters.
Oh, Lord, won't you tell me why I love that fella so?
And while that kind of music feels perhaps a little quaint, this by Etta James feels timeless. Something you'd hear today at a wedding or a presidential inaugural ball.
At last, my love has come along. My lonely days are over.
That's Dave Brubeck on piano, Paul Desmond's on sax. It was actually Desmond who composed Take Five, the best-known piece from the Dave Brubeck Quartet, and the best-selling jazz single of all time. Brubeck was pretty much an international ambassador of jazz, his name known to people who knew virtually nothing else about jazz. His band was called The Band. Levon Helm was the drummer and often the lead singer.
Creek, and she sends me in my spring, a lead, and she
Yvonne Helm went on to a solo career. He managed to keep on singing, even after throat cancer.
All of the things that you say are very
sentimental. Bob Welch started with Fleetwood Mac before going solo. Mainstream America didn't know Jenny Rivera very well. But she was enormously popular in Mexico and among Mexican Americans.
I know a dark, secluded place, a place where no one knows your face.
Richard Adler worked with his composing partner Jerry Ross on Broadway musical hits in the 1950s.
Hernando's Hideaway.
That's from The Pajama Game.
What do we got?
And Heart from Damn Yankees, an anthem to fans of losing ball clubs everywhere. These were from the movie versions.
That's when the grin should start.
Now you're getting the idea.
We've got hope. We've been sitting around and moped.
Moon River, wider than a mile.
My dad was a big fan of Andy Williams. Both his music and his long-running TV variety show. His recording of Moon River became his signature.
Dreammaker, you heartbreaker, wherever you're going, I'm going your way.
Andy Williams' career began as a member of the singing Williams Brothers with his siblings. A more famous group of musical brothers, the Brothers Gibb.
The preacher taunted me and he smiled. Said, come and walk with me, come and walk one more mile.
Robin Gibb, singing lead, along with his brothers Maurice and Barry, formed the Bee Gees in the 1960s, with ballads like this one.
There's no time for the fool.
Robin Gibb and the Bee Gees stayed alive in music by evolving to disco kings in the 70s. The soundtrack to Saturday Night Fever was, for many, the soundtrack of an era. We have many more memories, musical and otherwise, to share with you. When we return, one of the most influential people in the entertainment world ever. The Way They Were, our farewell to those we lost in 2012, will continue on Fox News Radio.
From the historical audio archives of Fox News Talk.
On April 9, 1959, NASA named the first group of American astronauts, selected from a list of 110 candidates. In just 2 years, on May 5, 1961, Alan Shepard would become the first American astronaut in a suborbital flight.
Which of these men will be first to orbit the Earth, I cannot tell you. He won't know himself until the day of the flight. From your right, Malcolm S. Carpenter, Leroy G. Cooper, John H. Glenn, Virgil I. Grissom, Walter M. Shearer, Alan B. Shepard, Donald K. Slayton. These, ladies and gentlemen, are the nation's Mercury astronauts.
Stay tuned to hear more history as it unfolds before your ears. It's the audio archives of Fox News Talk. This is Fox News Talk.
Headline Rewind.
1969.
We find ourselves rich in goods, but ragged in spirit. Reaching with magnificent precision for the moon, but falling into raucous discord on Earth.
I have decided to order the immediate redeployment from Vietnam of the division equivalent of approximately 25,000 men.
At the inquest, I responded as completely and as truthfully as I could to the questions that were put to me by the judge as well as the district attorney.
Tranquility Base here. The Eagle has landed. I'm going to step off the land now. It's one small step for man, one giant complete for mankind.
This is the largest group of people ever assembled in one place.
Good morning. What we have in mind is breakfast in bed for 400,000.
News as it happens. News as it happens.
This is Fox News Talk. Fox News Talk presents
Political Pop.
Paul McCartney has never been known as a composer with strong political meaning. That was usually John Lennon's strength. But in 1972, McCartney's Wing song of protest about the Bloody Sunday massacre in Ireland, he took a stand in a song that was banned by the BBC.
But really, what I'm doing.
Much like Vietnam to the U.S., what the British was doing in Ireland was the first time people were shocked into questioning the wisdom of the British government.
Music with a meaning.
That made a difference.
From Fox News Talk.
9,997.
No.
Suppose Thomas Edison had given
9,998.
But his failures only led him to the next idea.
9,999.
Picture Times Square, dim, Las Vegas, dark, your home, black. Picture no electric light.
$10. Come on.
Optimism, pass it on. From the Foundation for a Better Life at values.com.
It's time to make money with Charles Payne.
This has been an absolute phenomenal week.
Every stock, every sector.
I also love liquid natural gas.
This
one had a whole lot of momentum.
Expert insight to protect your investments.
We want to start to help people make money.
Watch Making Money with Charles Payne, weekdays on Markets Now. The 411 on the tech world. Everyone turns to Shivani Joshi.
From game-changing gadgets to breaking industry news, I'm covering it all. Netbooks, laptops, desktops, how has business been for you? Join me, Shivani Joshi, every weekday on Markets Now.
This is a Fox News Radio special, The Way They Were. I'm Hank Weinblum. We're spending most of this hour remembering the well-known people who died during 2012. But we also want to take some time talking about people you may not have heard of. They're doctors who either saved lives or helped people live better lives. There's Dr. Joseph Parker. During World War II, he was a doctor in the Navy, and he was the last surviving medic on Omaha Beach. He was there on D-Day treating U.S. soldiers who stormed the beaches, invading Europe, and turning the tide of the war against the Nazis. And Dr. Joseph Murray, a pioneering surgeon, a Nobel Prize winner, he performed the world's first successful kidney transplant in 1954. And Dr. William House, who developed the first cochlear implant, a device that enables deaf people to hear.
I'm pound for pound, I'm the best fighter pound for pound in the world. Bring him on!
That's Hector Macho Camacho, former champion in three weight categories, featherweight, lightweight, and junior welterweight, one of boxing's more colorful characters. He's the main event as we kick off our sports segment. Among those who paid close attention to Camacho's career...
You can talk to me about boxing, I can talk to you common sense. Any other subject, I'm in deep trouble.
Angelo Dundee, probably the best-known trainer and corner man in boxing history. He worked with George Foreman, Sugar Ray Leonard...
I've been in a lot of corners.
...and most memorably, Muhammad Ali. Dundee claims he was responsible for creating Ali's outspoken public persona.
I made him talk because he was the first superstar to talk. And the media was very happy to have him talk because they had something to write.
Chris Economaki loved to write and talk about the sport that he loved, auto racing, both IndyCars and NASCAR.
People don't come to the races to see people get hurt. They come to the races to be excited and to see people escape injury in spectacular crashes.
For many years, he was the man along pit lane for ABC News. Economaki told the Speed Channel he understood in his bones why auto racing is so popular.
And NASCAR keeps talking about safer barriers and safer walls, and I say to myself, well, that's fine, but they should shut up about it, because it takes away the allure of the sport. Here, drivers facing death at every turn at the fair races this Saturday. Come buy a ticket. Sure, that sells tickets. It's part of the sport.
Marvin Miller didn't play a single game in Major League Baseball, but he was a heavy hitter. As head of the Players Union, he won them the right to become free agents, and as a result, multimillionaires.
I encourage the players to treat the union as their union, not my union, not anybody else's union. It was their union.
And when Marvin Miller called a strike, he wasn't the umpire. Miller described as the most important figure in baseball in the last 50 years. On the field, he's got to be the only major leaguer to have a foul pole named after him.
I just want to say thank you to your fans.
Boston Red Sox fan favorite Johnny Pesky. He only hit 17 home runs in his career. Some of them may or may not have landed near the right field foul pole at Fenway Park, just 300 feet from home plate. It's now and forever known as the Pesky Pole.
There is nothing like the roar of the crowd.
He was known as the Kid. Gary Carter, hard-slugging, enthusiastic catcher for the old Montreal Expos, and then the 1986 world champion New York Mets.
The greatest thrill of my career certainly was that amazing 86 World Series. Nothing will ever top that, and the memories will last forever.
As a lifelong Mets fan, I'll only say, thanks, Kid.
All you Mets fans out there, God bless you, 86.
And not to totally ignore Yankee fans, former Yankee first baseman Moose Skowron died this year, too, as did former Yankees and Orioles general manager and American League president Lee McPhail. In football,
as a showbiz, any way you cut it.
Art Modell, owner of the Cleveland Browns for over 30 years before breaking the hearts of the fans by moving the team to Baltimore.
This business about being a sportsman, you know, just want to win. Sure, I want to win, but I want to entertain as well.
Steve Sable also wanted to entertain as president of NFL Films.
If someone were to ask me, how would I define our job at NFL Films, I'd say it is to bring a new understanding to something that's already been seen, to give a creative treatment to reality.
Folks in Texas know this music well. The University of Texas fight song, in memory of Darryl Royal, who led the Longhorns to 3 national titles. Royal was one of the coaches who devised the wishbone offense. And then there was a king of hearts, diamonds, clubs, and spades.
Amarillo Slim calls for cold blood.
Amarillo Slim, a poker-playing phenomenon. He knew when to hold 'em and when to fold 'em. A 5-time winner of the World Series of Poker.
I don't believe in luck. I believe that you make your own luck in life, whatever your endeavor is.
A religious leader who died this year, the Reverend Sun Myung Moon, founder of the Unification Church. Moon's church went on to have up to 7 million members worldwide. Some called them Moonies, especially in the 1970s during large-scale church recruitment efforts in the U.S. There were unproven claims that followers were brainwashed. Reverend Moon became a world-renowned multi-billionaire businessman and media mogul. But Moon and his church are perhaps best remembered for the mass weddings.
Congratulations!
Thousands of brides and grooms married in enormous ceremonies. Often officiated by Reverend Moon himself. The haunting sitar music of Ravi Shankar. When George Harrison and the rest of the Beatles discovered Ravi Shankar's music, they helped bring it to a world audience, virtually creating the genre of world music. Shankar helped organize the first of the big benefit concerts, the concert for Bangladesh in 1971. There was someone else who introduced America to a variety of music.
This is the number one song.
We're going hopping, hop, we're going hopping today. We're thinking of hopping, hop, a Philadelphia way. We're going to drop it.
His name, Dick Clark. One of the most influential people ever on TV and in music. The kids danced, and he introduced the performers.
Oh, is it a day on American Bandstand?
Dick Clark's American Bandstand. It had a beat, and you could dance to it.
80 million records later, all over the world.
Music is the soundtrack of our lives.
Right here on the Bandstand.
In a time where racial segregation still existed,
people saw whites and blacks socialize on the dance floor, who were young, who didn't kill each other, didn't hurt each other. That was a major step forward. They saw black entertainers on the stage always from 1952 on, so that was just accepted. I'm real proud of that because I think it helped bring people together.
Clark produced, created, or hosted a number of successful TV shows, including The $10,000 Pyramid, TV's Bloopers and Practical Jokes, the American Music Awards, and of course, the annual tradition.
Hi, Dick Clark live at Times Square.
New Year's Rockin' Eve. Even after he was slowed by a stroke, his speech slurred, Dick Clark welcomed in each and every new year.
Happy New Year!
And then there was Whitney.
And I will always love you.
Whitney Houston. Everybody knows her music. Over 170 million albums, singles, and videos sold. I Will Always Love You, the biggest-selling single by a female artist in history. She won baskets full of Grammys and other awards.
I decided long ago never to walk in anyone's shadow.
Her appeal crossed over from pop to R&B to gospel. Houston even had a mega-hit with the Star Spangled Banner, her Super Bowl recording of the national anthem reaching the top 20 on the charts. During this hour, we've talked about people who died this year, but rather than talk about death, we've focused on life, on the good things, and sometimes the bad things, that people did during their lives. When someone has lived a long and full life, it's pretty easy to celebrate that life, but when someone leaves us before their time, the task becomes much more difficult. We take time now to remember the four Americans killed in the terror attack in Benghazi, Libya, including...
Assalamu alaikum. My name is Chris Stevens, and I'm the new U.S. ambassador to Libya. I had the honor to serve as the U.S. envoy to the Libyan opposition during the revolution, and I was thrilled to watch the Libyan people stand up and demand their rights. Now I'm excited to return to Libya to continue the great work we've started.
We also remember Trayvon Martin, killed in an altercation with a neighborhood watchman in Florida, and all the victims of violence, the moviegoers in Aurora, Colorado, the victims at the Sikh temple in Oak Creek, Wisconsin, and of course, the little children, the teachers and staff at Sandy Hook Elementary School in Newtown, Connecticut. We remember those who died in natural disasters, including Superstorm Sandy. On a more personal note, we remember with fondness our departed colleague here at Fox News Radio, Chris Stanley.
While the three deals are seen as a victory for President Obama, some Senate Democrats, like Majority Leader Harry Reid, and many House Democrats voted against them, concerned some U.S. workers will lose jobs to foreign competition. Chris Stanley, Fox News Radio.
And for me personally, this program is dedicated to the memory of my lifelong best friend, Adam Bengel. As we end 2012, a reminder, for the year ahead, to embrace life, yours and those around you. As we've heard, life is precious and often far too short. For this program, special thanks go out to associate producer Pam Wentworth, who dug through the archives for all those great music, TV, and movie clips. You've been listening to a special presentation, The Way They Were. I'm Hank Weinblum, and this is Fox News Radio.
The British are coming! The British are coming!
That's right, and Semel Vineyards is bringing the London cabs to the North State. Riding in a British cab is a special treat, and you don't have to go to England to do it. Just call on Semel Vineyards at 530-474-5546 or First Class Limousine, 530-605-0137. Schedule that special trip on the town, to your favorite restaurant, or a tour of the vineyards. That's the London cabs at Semel Vineyards at 530-474-5546 or First Class Limousine, 530-605-0137.
Hello, Americans. You know what the news is. Now you're going to know the rest of the story. This is Paul Marvey for Alliance Heating and Air Conditioning. A local family needed a new heating and cooling system, but they never found anyone better than Alliance. We learned long ago that it's the people that make our systems better. Alliance Heating and Air Conditioning, 221-2642, or visit us online at homecomfort.org. And that's the rest of the story. Good day.
When I think holiday season, I think big. Big gatherings, big gifts, and big decorations. Wouldn't it be nice, though, if this season big meant win big? At North Valley Bank, it can. Beginning November 19th, each time you use your North Valley Bank debit card for purchases, you're automatically entered into a drawing to win great prizes. On December 4th, five winners will receive $100 cash. On December 18th, five more will get $250 cash. And on January 15th, five lucky winners will receive a 37-inch LCD HD TV. The more you use your card, the more chances you have to win. Don't already have a North Valley Bank debit card? No problem. It's easy to order. Just stop in or call any branch location. Start shopping and you might win big this holiday season with North Valley Bank. Member FDIC. No purchase or account required. See official contest rules on our website for more details. Campaign ends January 14th, 2013.
Fox News is brought to you now on KCNR Shasta Redding by Shasta Regional Medical Center.
Top cardiovascular hospital in the nation, Shasta Regional, treating people well.
Hello, I'm Jared Halpern. As the ball dropped in New York, D.C. lawmakers watch the economy fall off the fiscal cliff, at least technically.
In my view, it was worth the effort.
Senate Republican leader Mitch McConnell calling a Senate-backed plan imperfect, but it did pass a little after 2 in the morning. Fox News Radio's Mike Makowicz live in Washington.
This Senate-brokered measure heads off an income tax increase for individuals earning $400,000 or less and couples making $450,000 and less. Although all taxpayers will still see a 2% rise in payroll taxes, it increases the estate tax to 40% starting at $5 million. Unemployment insurance will be extended a year, and automatic spending cuts to the military and domestic programs will be delayed a couple of months. But it may be a tough sell in the House, where many Republicans say it cuts too little, and some Democrats feel it raises too little in taxes. Jared?
Max, same-sex couples can now marry in a 10th state. Maryland's new law took effect at midnight. Fox News Radio's Courtney Keeley has that live.
Maryland now the first state south of the Mason-Dixon line to allow same-sex marriage. Tracy Staples wed Bob Zuber last night at the inn they own, where they also hosted several other same-sex marriage receptions.
I am feeling like, well, I woke up with the song, and it goes, ah, honey, honey, do 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 do, ah, sugar, sugar, do 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 do. So there you go. I'm feeling that way.
Staples telling Fox News he woke up singing with happiness this New Year's Day. Jared?
Courtney, a new law in Colorado, also controversial, recreational marijuana clubs are now open.
Smells like freedom.
Voters approved Amendment 64 in November. Marijuana cannot be sold at the clubs. Thousands of people in Southern California have spent hours saving that perfect spot to watch the Rose Bowl parade. This is the 124th installment of the Pasadena staple. Floats are covered with flowers and plants, and some of the nation's top marching bands on display. You're listening to Fox News Radio, fair and balanced.
Because Susan switched to Geico and saved hundreds of dollars on car insurance, her retirement account wants to bake her a chocolate cake. But it can't. It's a retirement account. It doesn't have the upper body strength to lift a cake pan into an oven. Switch to Geico, and every time you see the savings, you'll know your retirement account wants to bake you a chocolate cake. But remember, it can't. It's a retirement account. It is, however, happy that you're saving money.
Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
My Mercedes-Benz technicians know my car inside and out.
They arrived at my house and changed my tire in minutes. They had me on my way.
Prepaying for my maintenance is so easy and convenient. It's one less thing.
Personal attention and exceptional customer care. As a Mercedes-Benz owner, it's what you deserve and what you'll get.
My go-to guys.
My rescue squad.
My road ahead. My service.
To learn more, visit mbusa.com/myservice.
Services vary. Available at participating dealers.
Five female teachers and 2 aid workers have been killed by gunmen in Pakistan. Fox News Radio's Simon Owen has details live.
Jared, the group were shot after a van carrying them home from work was ambushed by 4 men on motorbikes. Police are investigating whether it's another attack by Islamic militants opposed to women or girls being involved in education. The killings happened in the same conservative province where a 15-year-old schoolgirl, Malala Yousafzai, was shot in the head in October. Police say most of the women killed in this attack were aged between 20 and 22. The gunman escaped and no one's claimed responsibility. Jared?
Simon, in Karachi, Pakistan, reports of a bomb blast in a crowded area of the port city. 15 people said to be rushed to the hospital. Karachi is Pakistan's financial capital. An oil drilling ship has run ashore in Alaska.
Shell Alaska says a drill ship broke loose from tow vessels south of Kodiak Island during a severe storm last Thursday. It was adrift until last night when it grounded on a small uninhabited island in the Gulf of Alaska. Now the Coast Guard is going to try to salvage the ship, which is carrying 150,000 gallons of diesel fuel and about 12,000 gallons of other fluids. Jennifer Kuiper, Fox News Radio.
Meanwhile, 2012 will go down as another safe year for air travel.
The new year is a safer year in air travel. The proof is the last 12 months. The number of fatal crashes was down worldwide. There hasn't been a fatal accident on a U.S. airliner in more than 2 years. Equipment has improved, so have regulations. There have been improvements in air traffic control, in safety rules governing regional airlines, and in pilot training. More can still be done, but the next generation of air traffic control gear and procedures should bring an additional safety edge online. Bill Fitka, Fox News Radio.
A reminder, the markets are closed today, but Wall Street ending 2012 with a rally, the Dow closing up 160 points yesterday. I'm Jared Halpern, Fox News Radio.
Hey, good looking. What you got cooking?
Well, I'm cooking up some ideas to straighten you out here on Sundays at KCNR 1460 AM from 10 AM to 12 noon.
Wait a minute. I can get that at home.
Well, you can, but it's more fun when everybody else is listening.
Why not listen and join in on the fun?
We entertain, inform, and just have a good old time.
Gosh, Rooney, am I in trouble?
You bet you are.
Be sure to listen Sundays from 10 to noon to Don and Judy here on 1460 AM KCNR, the home of Free Fire Media.
KCNR 1460 kicks off 2013 with a new lineup that includes new faces and familiar friends. Following Free Fire Radio, Mike Huckabee from 9 to 12 noon. Laura Ingram makes her triumphant return from 12 to 3, followed by Dennis Miller to round out your afternoon. It all starts January 2nd right here on KCNR 1460. Happy New Year.
A very happy New Year.
This is a Fox News Radio special, 2012, a year to remember, with your host, Dave Anthony.
In 2012, we elected a president.
For the United States of America, the best is yet to come.
Had a big battle over health care.
Most of Americans don't want it.
Lost an ambassador to terrorists.
This was an attack by a small and savage group.
Witnessed a horror show at the movies.
Hundreds of people just running around. Somebody is still shooting inside theater number 9.
And saw a molester behind a scandal sent away.
These people turn on me when they've been in my home with their kids.
I'm Dave Anthony, and thanks for joining us as Fox News Radio looks back to 2012, a year to remember. We'll revisit the biggest stories that affected us all in different ways, talking to the reporters who were there and gave us a front row seat to what happened. And, of course, we begin with the campaign that started with caucuses in Iowa and ended with President Obama's re-election. Fox News Radio's Rich Johnson, live in Washington.
Well, Dave, the defining moment of the 2012 presidential campaign actually happened in January of 2010.
This is an extraordinarily triumphant day for the First Amendment.
A combination of arrogance, naivete, and stupidity, the likes of which I have never seen.
By a 5-4 vote, the U.S. Supreme Court ruled that unlimited corporate funding of political action committees is constitutional. The Citizens United ruling set the table for what we now know as a presidential campaign that cost more than $2 billion. In 2011, candidates started coming forward.
That's why my 999 plan is a bold solution.
Like Herman Cain, Newt Gingrich, Tim Pawlenty, and Rick Santorum. Others decided not to run.
Now is not my time.
Like Chris Christie, Mike Huckabee, Donald Trump, and Mitch Daniels. By the South Carolina primary in late January, the field was falling. Rick Perry, Michelle Bachmann, John Huntsman had all dropped out. Mitt Romney started gaining momentum in March, with Santorum leaving in April and Gingrich calling it quits in May.
Hello, Iowa! How's it going, Florida? Hello, Ohio!
And all through the Republican fights, President Obama's campaign organization was working full-time to keep the incumbent top of mind. And once it was down to Romney, he and the president pounded each other for 2 months.
I'm going to help the American people get good jobs and a bright future.
Together, as one people, as one nation, that's what we believe. That's what we mean when we say we're going forward.
Each enjoyed moments in the sun, and each endured speculation of their demise. But when all the votes were counted,
the nation chose another leader, and so Ann and I join with you to earnestly pray for him and for this great nation. Thank you, and God bless America. You guys are the best.
President Obama won the national popular vote by 3% and took an overwhelming electoral college victory, 332 to 206.
And we remain more than a collection of red states and blue states. We are, and forever will be, the United States of America. And together, with your help and and God's grace, we will continue our journey forward and remind the world just why it is that we live in the greatest nation on earth. Thank you, America. God bless you.
And while we sit here nearly 2 months after Election Day, there have been a few breaks for the president, a few breaks at all, as he's deep into the budget reform and tax talks.
Yeah, Rich, what about Mitt Romney? What's his future hold?
Well, for now, it's mostly private time. He's getting back into the business world slowly. He rejoined the board of directors of Marriott International. He'd left that spot with a hotel chain when he began his second run for president. He did have lunch with President Obama at the White House. Details of that meeting scarce, though. And one of his few public appearances earlier this month in Las Vegas, he and wife Ann were ringside at the fights, Dave.
Now, Rich, thank you very much. Now, of course, the president is still involved in these fiscal cliff negotiations through the end of 2012, with Republicans trying to avoid looming tax hikes and spending cuts that would kick in automatically in 2013. It was an historic year for the Supreme Court, taking up several landmark cases, including SB 1070, Arizona's controversial immigration crackdown.
Its primary objective is to make second-class citizens of U.S. Latinos, to discourage them from voting, from going to school, seeking employment, and realizing the American dream.
As Democratic State Senator Steve Gallardo, justices struck down parts of the law, but upheld a key provision allowing police to investigate the legal status of anyone stopped, detained, or arrested if there is a reasonable suspicion they're an illegal alien.
One indication of the importance of the case, five states have passed similar legislation and bills modeled on the Arizona scheme have been introduced in most other states.
That's Arizona Republican Governor Jan Brewer. Obamacare was an even bigger case as the court upheld the president's much-debated health care reform. Fox News Radio's Jared Halpern covered it extensively, was even pictured in Time magazine sprinting to report live on the decision right when it was released. Jared?
Even before arguments were made, legal analysts like Betsy Goldman with Bloomberg Law were predicting a historic affair.
This is up there with Brown v. Board. This is up there with Bush v. Gore.
For 3 days, the last week of March, the nine justices heard 6 hours of oral arguments, an amount of time rarely afforded. The focus was the individual mandate, the requirement to purchase health insurance or pay a fine.
Under the Commerce Clause, what Congress has done is to enact reforms of the insurance market.
The Solicitor General Donald Verrilli arguing the individual mandate is necessary to bring down the cost of health care. Paul Clement, who argued the case for health care law opponents, told the court the Commerce Clause only gives Congress power over existing commerce.
It does not give Congress the far greater power to compel people to enter commerce, to create commerce essentially in the first place.
The majority of justices agreed the Commerce Clause does not allow Congress to make you buy anything. Instead, Chief Justice John Roberts, in a rare opinion signed on by no other justice, upheld the individual mandate through Congress's taxing authority, writing, Congress has increased taxes on those who have a certain amount of income but choose to go without health insurance. While the opinion left open the possibility of repeal, November's elections all but sealed the fate of the controversial law, Dave.
Now, Jared, the court has ruled that one of the challenges can and actually needs to be reconsidered by a circuit court. And what does this mean now for the law? And I think this is what, Liberty Universities, is that right?
That's right, Dave. This was a case that was challenged by Liberty University, basically arguing the individual mandate, but on religious grounds, a religious freedom argument. It was heard by the Fourth Circuit Court of Appeals in Richmond, Virginia. But the judges in that case ruled that the challenge was premature, that that Anti-Injunction Act precluded anybody from actually ruling on it. The Anti-Injunction Act says that if something is a tax, then it can't be challenged until the tax takes effect. Well, that doesn't happen until 2014. That's how the circuit court saw it. Obviously, that's not how the Supreme Court saw it. So they've said to the circuit court, listen, you guys have to reconsider this based on our opinion. Now, what it means for the overall law is probably very little, because, again, this is is a tailored challenge to religious freedom. It could widen the net for those religious exemptions, but is unlikely, at least according to most legal scholars at this point, to have a major impact for most taxpayers.
Now, Jared, gay marriage became law in a few more states in 2012. As we look ahead to 2013, the court is going to hear gay marriage on a couple of different cases. Talk about that.
Two major cases. First, Proposition 8, the gay marriage ban in California, which was actually voted on by the voters, the citizens of California, before judges, federal courts came in and said you can't have a law that discriminates against same-sex couples and overturned it. So right now that law is in limbo. The Supreme Court will now rule as to whether or not states can impose these same-sex marriage bans and take away marriage rights for same-sex couples that are afforded to heterosexual couples. Similarly, the Defense of Marriage Act, something that was passed during the Clinton era, will now get a Supreme Court review, basically deciding whether or not the federal government can withhold benefits from same-sex partners that are afforded to regular couples. So two major cases involving same-sex marriage hit the Supreme Court, and the timing will be very similar to health care. We expect arguments sometime in March with an opinion lately in June or July, Dave.
And then we'll be talking about it next year's wrap-up of 2013. Thank you very much, Jared. Now, there was plenty of labor strife this year, and one battle took place at the ballot box as Democrats in Wisconsin tried to fire the Republican governor over the contentious 2011 law restricting public union collective bargaining.
Shortly after Scott Walker was sworn in as governor of Wisconsin in 2011, he introduced what he called his budget repair bill. It called for stripping collective bargaining for most public employees. Protesters, many union members, flocked to Wisconsin state capitol.
This is about workers' rights and human rights.
Union forces and others from outside Wisconsin pumped in money and support trying to stop the legislation from going through. They failed and vowed to send a message to Republican Scott Walker another way, recall. In January 2012, critics of Governor Walker were able to get enough signatures on petitions against him to force a new election. Also challenged, Republican Lieutenant Governor Rebecca Clayfish and 13 state senators. Milwaukee Mayor Tom Barrett, a Democrat who lost to Walker previously, announced in late March that he'd challenge Walker again. Then, on June 5, 2012, Scott Walker learned he'd remain governor.
I want to thank God for his abundant grace. Next, I particularly want to thank not all of you here, but people all across the state. I want to thank you for your prayers.
The governor made nice with fellow lawmakers holding a beer and broth summit after the election, but some voters say
something that has been as polarizing as this is going to take a long time to come back from.
I think maybe they'll simmer down a little, but I think there's probably going to be some pretty strong opinions on both sides for a long time.
Now, Wisconsin Senate Republican Majority Leader Scott Fitzgerald says the GOP is frustrated with how the Government Accountability Board handled the recall elections and thinks there should be reform. Governor Walker says he has no problem with the nonpartisan board that oversees elections in his state. Jennifer Kuiper, Fox News Radio.
Michigan had its own fight at the end of the year.
Shut your mouth! Shut your mouth!
Big protests at the state capitol in December. Even a few altercations as Republicans fast-tracked right-to-work legislation in a matter of days, and Governor Rick Snyder signed it.
I don't view this as anti-union at all. I believe this is pro-worker.
Now, the law means employees would not have to join a workplace union or pay dues. Democrats call it union busting, vowing to make Republicans pay in the 2014 elections. And there was one labor dispute casualty this year.
Twinkie the Kid.
Yeah, poor Twinkie the Kid. He's gone. So is Susie Q and Yodels and Cupcakes and all the other Hostess products we ate as kids. The company is going out of business, so unable to make a deal with a striking union in bankruptcy court. And while some other company could revive that Hostess brand or some of the products, thousands of jobs may be lost for good. Coming up, as we look back to 2012, a year to remember, two moments where the nation paused in tearful disbelief. This is Fox News Radio.
This is Fox News Talk.
Headline Rewind.
1981.
President Jimmy Carter.
We have now reached an agreement with Iran, which will result in the freedom of our American hostages.
I, Ronald Reagan, do solemnly swear that I will faithfully execute the office of President of the United States.
As of now,
I am in control here in the White House, pending return of the Vice President.
I have been in labor negotiations for 25 years. The only people that ever win from a strike are the lawyers.
Charles Philip Arthur George, wilt thou have this woman to thy wedded wife, so long as ye both shall live?
I will.
MTV is just videos with music.
As a judge, it is not my function to continue to try to develop public policy by means of making the law.
News as it happens then.
News as it happens now.
This is Fox News Talk. Fox News Talk presents
Political Pop.
In the days of steel mills, the workday began with the blowing of a steam whistle. And so starts Billy Joel's Allentown, which deals with Americans coping with the demise of American manufacturing in the late 20th century.
Well, we're living here in Allentown, and they're closing all the factories down. No, they never told us what was real. Iron, coal, chrome, and steel. And we're waiting here in Allentown. But they've taken all the coal from the ground. And the union people throw it away.
A song that resonates with the world economic condition today.
Music with a meaning.
That made a difference.
From Fox News Talk.
Fox News Talk salutes our listeners in the first state of Delaware.
Well, I'm gonna hit that highway. They call Highway 95. Well, I'm gonna hit that highway. They call Highway 95. Well, I cruise back to you, baby. I'll make your heart come alive. Well, I grew up with the rock and roll, but these alone. Well, I grew up with the rock and roll, but these blues wouldn't leave me alone. I didn't know what they meant till I rambled far from home. Well, all right.
Thanks for listening to Fox News Talk, and stay tuned as we continue our salute to the 50 states of freedom.
From Fox News Talk, here's another sound memory.
Rod Serling's stories with odd twists and jarring turns set the standard for which all science fiction anthologies are judged. Winning 3 Emmys and an Oscar, the show featured an all-star cast including Robert Redford, Ron Howard, Lee Marvin, and Jonathan Winters, among others. This audio icon of TV pop culture was written by classical composer Marius Constant. Jerry Garcia and the Grateful Dead updated and recorded the theme for the new Twilight Zone that aired for 3 years beginning in 1985.
Stay tuned to hear more sound memories on Fox News Talk. Now, here's another encore presentation from Fox and Friends.
Courtney Thorne Smith.
Healthy Woman did a survey, and they found that women have a lot of questions about Botox Cosmetic.
They do.
And the people at Botox asked if I would speak about my experience, and I said I would be happy to.
Because you have used it for 10 years.
I have used it for 10 years.
Weren't you kind of freaked out because every once in a while you hear a story about somebody whose face gets stuck?
Well, I made sure I went to talk to my doctor. I said I want to look very natural, which I do. People say, what, have you lied about it or something? Mm-hmm. I said, no, no one's asked me. I think I look natural. I've looked natural the whole time. And my message is really, it's important to go talk to someone who knows what they're doing and know what you want. You can say specifically, look, I still want to have expression. I still want to be able to move my face.
Are you worried about the future of wrinkles if this continues? I mean, what happens to the people that want wrinkles? It's not going to happen if everyone uses
it. You can still have wrinkles. That's the thing.
Yeah.
You have
a long
choice.
Bath.
Catch Fox and Friends every morning starting at 6. And keep listening for more encore presentations on Fox News Talk.
I'm Dave Anthony, and this is Fox News Radio's Looking Back to 2012, A Year to Remember. Thanks for joining us. Now, terrible things happen every year. But in 2012, we had more than our share.
We'll always remember December 14th.
When a 20-year-old man burst into Sandy Hook Elementary School in Newtown, Connecticut, and went on a shooting spree.
We hear bangings, and then on the loudspeaker, we hear, like, heavy breathing, and then we hear gunshots.
And then those little kids hid in a closet until help arrived.
Police came and said, line up and close your eyes and hold on to each other.
And they were escorted out as their horrified moms and dads rushed to the scene from home or from work.
All these parents were waiting for their children to come out. They thought that they were, you know, still alive.
But many were not.
20 parents aren't going to be able to tuck their kids into bed.
Robbie Parker is among them. He lost his 6-year-old daughter, Emily.
I don't know how to get through something like this. My wife and I don't understand how to process all of this and how to get our lives going.
6 adults were also massacred with the 20 children.
This has just broken the heart of the whole town.
The 20-year-old gunman, Adam Lanza, murdered his mother at home first, then went to the school, ending his rampage by killing himself as police arrived.
I am very mindful that mere words cannot match the depths of your sorrow.
President Obama attended a vigil in Newtown 2 days later.
We can't tolerate this anymore. These tragedies must end.
Renewing a gun control debate just months after a horror show in a movie theater. A midnight mass murder. Fox News Radio's Jessica Rosenthal was in Aurora, Colorado and saw all the anguish firsthand. Jessica?
Dave, just minutes into a midnight showing on opening day of the latest Batman movie, a man dressed in tactical gear with bright dyed orange hair opened fire inside the Century 16 movie theater in Aurora, Colorado. Some initially thought it was a prank. Smoke filled the theater, but then shots were fired. 12 people were killed and 58 injured. The suspect, 24-year-old James Holmes, was arrested minutes later outside. But right after the arrest, police went to his apartment, which they'd found out was rigged.
I see an awful lot of wires, trip wires, jars full of ammunition, jars full of liquid, things that look like mortar rounds.
Aurora Police Chief Dan Oates described Holmes as wearing a mask, ballistic helmet, bulletproof vest, bullet-resistant leggings, a throat protector, and tactical gloves upon being arrested. They say he used 3 guns during the shooting but had bought 4. They'd been purchased legally. Outside the rigged apartment, people like Jackie Mitchell and Rachel Reed said they knew Holmes, that they'd hung out with him at a local bar.
Geeky sunglasses, you know, backpack, you don't see no killer.
Doesn't seem like a, you know, psychopath.
Yeah, you don't see that.
Holmes had been a PhD student at the University of Colorado where he was studying neuroscience. However, he'd been withdrawing from the school. Before he did, though, he met with psychiatrist and professor Dr. Lynn Fenton at the campus. This is according to court documents. He mailed her a notebook along with some burnt money inside of it, but she never received it. It had been sent just before the shooting and sat in the university's mailroom that weekend. However, it's been reported that Dr. Fenton was so disturbed by Holmes when she met him that she told the campus threat assessment team about him. It's also been reported that the notebook contained possible plans of the shooting. At his first court appearance, Holmes appeared dazed and out of it. In subsequent hearings, Holmes' attorneys have called him mentally ill. Among the charges he's facing, 2 murder charges for each person killed and 2 attempted murder charges for each of those injured, Dave.
Jessica, while many more died, no shooting was as controversial this year as the one in Sanford, Florida. A neighborhood watchman gets into a fight with a teenager and kills him, sparking a racial outcry that helped turn this into a murder case. And Fox News Radio's Evan Brown covered this story all year long. Evan?
Now, Dave, this case has been centered on race, and there were many who first said George Zimmerman functioned as a self-appointed neighborhood watchman, and he didn't like African-Americans. But some cried foul after NBC Television ran a report that some say made it sound like Zimmerman was focusing on race. Here's that clip.
This guy looks like he's up to no good. He looks black.
Did you see what he was wearing?
Yeah, a dark hoodie.
Yeah, but Dave, the unedited recording, which was made available to any reporter who asked for it, went like this.
This guy looks like he's up to no good, or he's on drugs or something. It's raining, and he's just walking around looking about.
Okay, and this guy, is he white, black, or Hispanic?
He looks black.
Did you see what he was wearing?
Yeah, a dark hoodie, like a gray hoodie, and either jeans or sweatpants and white tennis shoes.
It shows that the 911 operator asked for a description of the suspicious person. It's things like that that lead Zimmerman's attorneys to claim he won't get an honest trial, and it's also why Zimmerman is now suing NBC.
Thank you, Evan. Fast and Furious was a big deal in Washington this year, and a contentious one as Congress investigates a federal gun-tracking operation that went awry in Mexico, letting weapons get into drug cartels, and one of them was used to kill a Border Patrol agent, and that's part of an investigation still ongoing.
We're here today, for the first time in over 200 years, to deal with an attorney general who has flat refused to give the information related to lies and a cover-up exclusively within his jurisdiction.
Republican Congressman Daryl Issa is leading the probe. Attorney General Eric Holder has denied he's stonewalling, says he's testified several times before Congress, but the House still held him in contempt of Congress.
What the Republicans are doing with this motion on the floor today is contemptible.
Democratic House Leader Nancy Pelosi has Democrats call the whole thing a political witch hunt. The White House has asserted its executive privilege and has done that to keep some documents away from Congress's investigation. As we continue on our look back to 2012, a year to remember, we'll get into the disasters that affected so many people, like a hurricane in the Northeast and wildfires out in the West, and we'll get into the Penn State scandal and the disgrace to Lance Armstrong. You're listening to Fox News Radio.
The best in Fox News Talk, and the latest from Fox News Radio. This is the place to be. Fox News Talk. Fox News Talk.
Now, here's another encore presentation from Fox and Friends. Elizabeth Hurley.
You've been working with Estee Lauder for 15 years on their breast cancer awareness campaign. It's why you and I are wearing pink. And then you also have a wrist ribbon. Tell me about that.
Well, but this was because Evelyn Lauder, who's Estee Lauder's daughter-in-law, came up with the idea for pink ribbon in 1993. And this year we've got a wristlet. Anybody anywhere in the world can go to any Estee Lauder counter, pick up a free pink wristlet this year, and a leaflet about breast health and information.
And I know that it's near and dear to your heart. Your grandmother died of breast cancer. Is that why you got involved?
I did, actually. This is a time when no one spoke about breast cancer. There was no pink ribbon. My grandmother found a lump and didn't tell anyone for a few years because she was embarrassed, ashamed, and scared.
Well,
and that's what it's all about. It's not embarrassing. It is, of course, frightening. But it's curable if detected early in 98% of all cases of breast cancer.
Catch Fox and Friends every morning starting at 6. And keep listening for more encore presentations on Fox News Talk.
Fox News on your time.
The Fox News iPad app is ready to go with all the great features from FoxNews.com and our iPhone app optimized specifically for your iPad.
Watch the latest clips from your favorite Fox News shows.
Personalize the app by creating your own newscast using the video playlist.
Listen to Fox News Radio live.
Get local weather forecasts.
And it's all free.
Go to FoxNews2Go.mobi.
That's Fox News, the number 2, Go.mobi.
Some people would call him a loser. He ran for state office. He was beaten. He started a business. He failed. He ran for Congress. He lost. He was nominated for vice president. He lost again. But he knew only those who never tried are the real losers. And Abraham Lincoln was no loser. Persistence. Pass it on. From the Foundation for a Better Life at values.com.
This is Fox News Talk.
Headline Rewind.
1970.
The student now goes to college to proclaim rather than to learn. The lessons of the past are ignored and obliterated in a contemporary antagonism known as the generation gap.
You just go through a phase of wanting to be up there, you know, in the limelight. Well, I'm going through a phase now where I don't want to be in the limelight.
Ding! Ali comes out to meet Frazier, but Frazier starts to retreat. If Frazier goes back an inch farther, he'll wind up in a ringside seat. Ali swings to the left. Ali swings to the right. Look at the kid carry the fight.
Everybody just gathered around, organized. And it was orderly. No kids were out of hand. They just wanted to talk. Two seconds throwing tear gas, and the kids were picking up and throwing them back at the cops. And they chased the kids over the hill. The cops were boxed in. There was kids all around them. All of a sudden, cops got trigger happy and shot kids.
News as it happens. News as it happens.
This is Fox News Talk.
Fox
News Talk's Laugh Track.
Jerry Seinfeld.
Available on Uptown Universal.
I'm watching TV. Tell me if you have this happen to you. You're watching TV. It's getting late. You're getting tired. You're starting to fall asleep. You think to yourself, I could get into bed and go to sleep right now. But I don't. I don't go to bed. I fight, sleep, and continue searching for entertainment. No, I gotta find a car blowing up, somebody naked. I don't care what it is. I gotta fight. What is this? Go to bed! The finger that hits the button on the remote control is the last part of the human body to fall asleep. You're out cold. That finger's still going, still looking. It is amazing what people will believe. I watch these infomercials late at night. I start to believe them. And I start thinking, you know, I don't think I could cut through a shoe with any of my knives.
A little laughter to lighten your load. From Fox News Talk.
Online at foxnewstalk.com.
From Fox News Talk, here's another sound memory.
It was originally a series of single-panel cartoons in the New Yorker magazine. The Addams Family is an inversion of the ideal American family who delight in the weird, bizarre, and frightening. It aired on ABC from 1964 to 1966. The catchy theme was written by Vic Mizzi, Dave Kahn, and Ted Cassidy.
They're creepy and they're kooky, mysterious and spooky. They're all together ooky, the Addams Family. The house is a museum, when people come to see them, they really are a scream, the Addams Family.
Neat. Sweet. Petite.
Get a witch's shawl on, a roof that you can crawl on, we're gonna pay a call on, the Addams Family.
Stay tuned to hear more sound memories on Fox News Talk. This is 2012, a year to remember, on Fox News Radio with Dave Anthony.
I'm Dave Anthony, and thanks for joining us as we continue on Fox News Radio our look back to 2012, a year to remember, and disaster certainly struck this year, but none really stood out more than Hurricane, now known as Superstorm Sandy. It devastated parts of the Northeast, first the Jersey Shore, then Long Island, then a direct hit on New York City. Fox News Radio's Courtney Keeley went to some of the hardest hit areas and joins us live.
Dave, the whole of New York City started shutting down on Sunday with weather reports calling it a Frankenstorm. All mass transit, subways, and buses stopped running Sunday night. But Monday was kind of a hurry-up-and-wait kind of day. Nothing was expected to happen until the later afternoon and the early evening. But by nightfall, the wind was picking up, and it became too dangerous to be outside. The storm was deceptive. It came in parts. It wasn't like a hurricane that rips through and then disappears. It was a hurricane-like storm getting hit by Arctic winds that held it in place with a winter storm coming in from the west, a superstorm. And as I started to report in the early morning hours, I headed downtown in Manhattan to 23rd Street and felt like I'd fallen off a cliff. The whole city from there southward was pitch-black darkness, save for the police lights flashing blue and white. And one of the first big disaster stories coming out came from Breezy Point, Queens.
There were houses going up in fire, and it was a mistake, but I mean, the water was right there. So the first floor, the bay met the ocean is basically what happened.
A fire had ripped through blocks of the seaside, mainly summer community. By the afternoon, blocks of homes had been reduced to smoldering ash and rubble, looking like a missile had struck. This man from New Jersey's description fits what tens of thousands in the tri-state area experienced for days in certain pockets like Long Island for almost two full weeks.
Trees are down all over, power lines are down, gas lines are a mile and a half long, stores are empty of food. It seems like it's something from the Middle Ages, like you never expected something like this until you really, like, live it.
In some places, storm surges of 6 to 12 feet of water swept through streets and homes. This woman in Staten Island's anguish was shared by so many who experienced the same thing, the loss of all of their personal effects.
Now I got nothing of my husband, my son, no nothing that passed away. It's all ruined down here, every ounce of it, ruined. Yep.
Tens of thousands of people still have damaged homes, with some still displaced.
Courtney, how did the people in the area feel that their leaders handled it? One of the things that people remember most from the storm and the disaster handling was President Obama with New Jersey Governor Chris Christie.
Well, you'll remember Chris Christie's embrace of President Obama. Some accused him of actually tipping the elections in President Obama's favor because he came out as so heroic. He came out ahead of the storm in a way, acting as a true leader to the people of New Jersey and saying that he was casting aside any politics in favor of the people of New Jersey. Local leaders did not fare as well in places like Long Island. The officials for the Long Island Power Authority, they all had to resign after Long Island was in parts of it stayed dark for 2 weeks. And then Mayor Michael Bloomberg, he was accused of a tale of two cities, of elitism, of taking care of his people in Manhattan, the more ritzy area, and neglecting people in some of the hardest hit areas like Staten Island.
Yeah, and the storm did tens of billions of dollars of damage. A lot of cleanup still to do. Thank you, Courtney. Wildfires, another problem this year, ruining a lot of lives, charring areas from Texas to Washington State.
Nature is sometimes very evil.
Unbelievable. It came through. I've never been so scared in my life.
You could hear the roar of the flames. It was very intense.
We're all literally just watching, praying that it's not our house that we see go up in smoke.
You could actually hear the trees cracking and exploding, the sap in there just exploding.
We have the greatest firefighters on earth fighting this fire, and there's nothing that they can do when you get this kind of weather.
I went from probably having way too much stuff to having my truck and the clothes I had on.
They're doing the best they can. They got a big fire, you know, a lot of places.
You're happy that you're alive, but you can't be happy because of all the people that aren't.
There's hope. We're gonna rebuild. We're a community, and we're going to pull together.
Now, one of the fires in Colorado was the state's most destructive ever, burning 350 homes to the ground around Colorado Springs. Another fire in New Mexico was the biggest in that state's history. 9/11 is always a solemn date, but in 2012, 11 years after the terror attacks, there was another attack, and this time it was in Libya on a U.S. consulate, killing our ambassador plus three other Americans, and that created a political firestorm still simmering in Washington. Fox News Radio's Mike Makowicz, live at the White House, Mike.
Yeah, Dave, it certainly came on an anniversary that's painful to Americans, 9/11, and once again, Americans found themselves under attack by religious extremism. This time, it was overseas, at a U.S. diplomatic outpost in Benghazi, Libya. While street protesters were beginning to agitate in many Arab cities over a video viewed as offensive, the diplomatic facility in Benghazi came under attack. U.S. intelligence officials early on caught on that this was far more than a protest over a video, but a coordinated attack led by extremists. They breached the compound. The U.S. ambassador was left unaccounted for in the melee, later found dead from smoke inhalation in a burning safe house. That despite a rescue effort by a nearby CIA facility. That facility later coming under attack, and three other Americans were killed in the fighting. It was the weeks following where administration officials insisted the incident was a spontaneous protest, not a coordinated terror attack. Susan Rice, the U.N. ambassador, pressing that case in numerous Sunday show interviews, including Fox News Sunday.
What sparked the recent violence was the airing on the internet of a very hateful, very offensive video.
But it later became clear that narrative was not correct, putting the administration on the defensive. The story was slow to make it into the mainstream media, but it became a major topic during the presidential campaign, particularly in the debates. The White House insisting the president had called the attack an act of terror the day after, but his reference was oblique.
No acts of terror will ever shake the resolve of this great nation.
And administration officials had continued to call it a spontaneous protest in the days after. At the center of the controversy was CIA Director David Petraeus. But in one of the strangest plot twists in American history, Petraeus' affair with his biographer was uncovered by FBI agents investigating some harassing emails received by a woman in Florida. That forced the popular Petraeus to resign in disgrace. The investigation also pulling in the top general in Afghanistan, John Allen, who had exchanged emails with the Florida woman that were described as flirty. Questions remain about the Benghazi attack. A report is due from the State Department. Congressional committees have their own investigations going. So it is likely this controversy will continue well into 2013. Dave?
Well, thank you, Mike. Now, Syria, that is still a big situation raging on. The civil war there, pitting the regime against an opposition trying to bring it down. And as the year ended, fear grew that chemical weapons might be involved. Fox News Radio's Emily Wither has followed this extensively in our Middle East Bureau.
This has become the soundtrack of Syria's revolution. What began as peaceful protests in 2011 is now a civil war, More than 40,000 people are dead. More than 500,000 have been forced to flee the country. Millions are displaced inside Syria. And it's not over. The Assad family has ruled for over 40 years. Bashar Assad, who took over from his father in 2000, still blames foreign conspirators.
The problem is not between me and the people. I don't have a problem with the people. Because the United States is against me. The West is against me.
Syria's main cities have been rocked by suicide bombings. Both sides pointing the finger at each other. The UN accusing the regime of deliberately targeting civilians. In one incident, 108 were shot in their homes, including 49 children. As a journalist, I could only watch from the border in Turkey at the many refugee camps. This woman arrived 9 days ago after government forces attacked her at home, but she doesn't like staying in the camps either. The kids here don't sing nursery rhymes. They sing songs of the revolution they left behind. I also watched from Jordan's borders. Conditions are tough in this desert camp. The sand cakes people's clothes. There's nowhere to escape the harsh sun. There's also not a lot to do. Nearly every Syrian I spoke to was angry. The world was only watching their pain. Western powers have tried to seek UN Security Council action, but Russia and China veto the resolutions. Ceasefires have failed, and the opposition is deeply divided. The conflict this year became increasingly militarized when outside countries started arming Syria's rebels and foreign fighters began arriving to help. The fighting often spilling over the borders into Israel, Turkey and Jordan. It also turned up the heat on sectarian tensions in Lebanon, where people have been forced to pick sides. And protests are deadly. A new year bringing a new worry.
Our concerns are that an increasingly desperate Assad regime might turn to chemical weapons.
Secretary Hillary Clinton also concerned the weapons may fall into the hands of one of the many Islamic militant groups now fighting alongside the rebels. Many believe it's no longer a question of if Assad falls, but when. For Syria's president, he says he's going nowhere.
I'm made in Syria, and I have to live in Syria and die in Syria.
Two things are certain. The outcome will be felt throughout the Middle East, and it will be bloody. Emily with the Fox News Radio.
And when we come back on our look back to 2012, a year to remember, we'll go back into the Penn State scandal, which has still been rocking that university since it broke back in 2011. And we'll go into some of the other sports stories of the year. You're listening to Fox News Radio.
From the historical audio archives of Fox News Talk.
On April 9, 1959, NASA named the first group of American astronauts, selected from a list of 110 candidates. In just 2 years, on May 5, 1961, Alan Shepard would become the first American astronaut in a suborbital flight.
Which of these men will be first to orbit the Earth, I cannot tell you. He won't know himself until the day of the flight. From your right, Malcolm S. Carpenter, Leroy G. Cooper, John H. Glenn, Virgil I. Grissom, Walter M. Shearer, Alan B. Shepard, Donald K. Slayton. These, ladies and gentlemen, are the nation's Mercury astronauts.
Stay tuned to hear more history as it unfolds before your ears. It's the audio archives of Fox News Talk. This is Fox News Talk.
Headline Rewind.
1969.
We find ourselves rich in goods, but ragged in spirit. Reaching with magnificent precision for the moon, but falling into raucous discord on Earth.
I have decided to order the immediate redeployment from Vietnam of the division equivalent of approximately 25,000 men.
At the inquest, I responded as completely and as truthfully as I could to the questions that were put to me by the judge as well as the district attorney.
Tranquility Base here. The Eagle has landed. I'm going to step off the land now. It's one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind.
This is the largest group of people ever assembled in one place.
Good morning. What we have in mind is breakfast in bed for 400,000.
News as it happened. News as it happened.
This is Fox News Talk. Fox News Talk presents
Political Pop.
If I had a right to the Irish.
them have to take it away.
Paul McCartney has never been known as a composer with strong political meaning. That was usually John Lennon's strength. But in 1972, McCartney's Wing song of protest about the Bloody Sunday massacre in Ireland, he took a stand in a song that was banned by the BBC.
But really, what I'm doing.
Much like Vietnam to the U.S., what the British was doing in Ireland was the first time people were shocked into questioning the wisdom of the British government.
Music with a meaning.
That made a difference.
From Fox News Talk.
9,997. No, no, no.
Suppose Thomas Edison had given up.
9,998.
But his failures only led him to the next idea.
9,999?
Picture Times Square, dim, Las Vegas, dark, your home, black. Picture no electric light.
10,000! Come on, come on!
Optimism, pass it on. From the Foundation for a Better Life at values.com.
It's time. Time to make money with Charles Payne.
This has been an absolute phenomenal week.
Every stock, every sector.
I also love liquid natural gas.
This one had a whole lot of momentum.
Expert insight to protect your investment.
We want to start to help people make money.
Watch Making Money with Charles Payne. Weekdays on Markets Now. The 411 on the tech world. Everyone turns to Shivani Joshi.
From game-changing gadgets to breaking industry news, I'm covering it all. Netbooks, laptops, desktops. How has business been for you? Join me, Shivani Joshi, every weekday on Markets Now.
Welcome back to our look at 2012, a year to remember. I'm Dave Anthony on Fox News Radio, and the Penn State scandal did not start in 2012, but it did end this year for Jerry Sandusky, the ex-football coach turned molester, who was sent to prison, maybe for life. Fox News Radio's Jeff Manasseh was there and has covered this scandal since it first broke. Joins us live, Jeff.
Dave, October 9th, former Penn State assistant football coach Jerry Sandusky was sent to prison for a minimum 30 to 60 years, essentially a life sentence for the 68-year-old who was convicted of 45 counts of sexually abusing 10 boys over 15 years.
We had hoped for more. We had hoped for remorse, contrition, but we saw none of that.
Tom Klein's the attorney for victim number 5. Jerry Sandusky maintained his innocence even before his sentencing, telling the court he's the victim of some sort of vast conspiracy by Penn State and by victims for monetary gain, which lead prosecutor Joe McGettigan outside the courthouse in Bellefonte, Pennsylvania, called
a masterpiece of banal self-delusion, completely untethered from reality and without any acceptance of responsibility. It was entirely self-focused, as if he again were the victim. It was, in short, ridiculous.
But Jerry Sandusky is appealing his conviction, asking for a new trial on the grounds the defense didn't have enough time to prepare.
What happens in cases like this, where everyone decides someone's guilty, and we might as well just get this thing over with, is that you lose this concept of due process, and that's something that should worry all of us.
Sandusky attorney Joe Amendola, meantime, at Green State Prison in southwestern Pennsylvania, the disgrace ex-coach rates as a level 2 inmate on a 5-level security scale, meaning Jerry Sandusky is alone in his cell for 23 hours a day and around the clock on weekends. He is fighting for fewer restrictions. This as his victims, who we saw in court, some breaking down in tears, sobbing as they described in detail what was done to them at the hands of the man who they considered a father figure, a sports hero, a god. They'll fight their own kinds of hell, perhaps, for the rest of their lives, as each young man tries to put their nightmare and Jerry Sandusky behind them, Dave.
Jeff, what other legal action is still pending in this case?
Well, Jerry Sandusky is appealing his sentencing, and his lawyers were granted an extension in that process. Former Penn State University President Graham Spanier, former athletic director Tim Curley, and former university vice president Gary Schultz, all facing trial in the new year on charges that they lied to a grand jury in the investigation and failed to report the abuse that was brought to their attention to police.
Jeff, there are also lawsuits here. I mean, this is not the end of this case in any means.
No, there's not. Well, there's a defamation suit against Penn State by former assistant Mike McQuarrie, the witness who went to university officials back in 2001. He's out of a job and claims he's being treated more like a scapegoat instead of a whistleblower. And there are lawsuits that are still pending to be played out between Penn State and victims. And amid the Louis Free report that blamed university officials for ignoring and concealing sex crimes against children, the university could be on the hook for tens of millions of dollars in damage.
And Jeff, there was a sanctions here. The football program that Joe Paterno led for so many years got hit very hard.
Yeah, well, the NCAA fined Penn State University $60 million, implemented a postseason bowl game ban, stripped the Nittany Lions of scholarships and of the team's record, tossing out 112 wins from 1998 to 2011. Meantime, outside the house that Joe Paterno built, Beaver Stadium, the statue of the late coach, taken away and replaced with baby trees, a symbol, perhaps, of a new beginning in a community that's been torn apart, Dave.
And speaking of new beginnings, Jeff, Bill O'Brien, the new coach, led Penn State to an 8-4 season, which is far better than anybody had expected, especially when they started the year 0-2. Jeff, thanks very much. This was a giant year in sports, a San Francisco and New York giant year. Both teams won their championships. New York Giants beat the New England Patriots to win the Super Bowl, and the San Francisco Giants won the World Series for the second time in 3 years, beating the Detroit Tigers. In the NBA, LeBron finally got his ring, leading the Miami Heat to an NBA championship win. And in hockey, the Los Angeles Kings won the Stanley Cup, but then the league was frozen over by a lockout, and the next season that was supposed to start in the fall of 2012 did not, as the owners locked players out in a labor dispute. Now, 2012 was a year of relief for one of baseball's starting pitchers ever. Roger Clemens was acquitted of perjury charges. He was accused of lying to Congress when he testified that he never used steroids.
It's been a hard 5 years, and they've been great behind Dad and supporting Dad. My wife has been a rock behind us, and all of our family at home in Houston have been great.
After his acquittal, Clemens pitched again, making two starts for an independent minor league baseball team, the Sugar Land Skeeters in Texas, giving up no runs in 8 innings at the age of 50. Now, this was the year that Lance Armstrong will not forget, nor will all of the cycling champion's detractors who finally got what they'd for years sought, his disgrace. He gives up his fight against U.S. anti-doping agency allegations that Armstrong used performance-enhancing drugs, and all his cycling titles were taken away.
He knows it's a cheap shot, he knows it's a hatchet job, and he knows it's a one-sided, it's just a one-sided presentation of what a case would look like if nobody said anything to the contrary.
The strength of the Livestrong brand lies in the fact that it means so many things to so many different people.
I like to believe, I like to have faith, you know, I think he's amazing. Amazing person. He did good things for cancer and for cycling, but you know, we kind of have to come to the realization that maybe it might have been doping.
It's been a difficult couple of weeks for me, for my family, for my friends, for this foundation. I get asked a lot. People say, "Man, how you doing?" And I say this every time, and I mean it. I say I've been better, but I've also been worse.
UCI will ban Lance Armstrong from cycling, and UCI would strip him of his 7 Tour de France titles.
And not only did Armstrong lose those titles, he also stepped down from the Livestrong Cancer Foundation that he had started, you know, with all those orange, or rather yellow wristbands. And so Armstrong was out as the chairman of that organization after he lost those titles and was disgraced with U.S. doping allegations. Also, John Edwards in 2012, the case against him ended in a mistrial. Edwards was the 2-time Democratic presidential candidate accused of misusing campaign funds, giving money to a mistress back in the second campaign run in 2008.
I don't think God's through with me. I really believe he thinks there's still some good things I can do.
That was Edwards outside of federal court after the judge declared a mistrial in the case. And the top internet searches of 2012, you know what they were? Topping the list, Whitney Houston's death in February. According to Google, the annual Zeitgeist list, number 2...
Open Gangnam Style.
Rapper Psy from South Korea. That Gangnam Style video watched more than 1 billion times, setting a record on YouTube. And that is our look back to 2012, a year to remember here on Fox News Radio. Thank you to all of our reporters who helped us to recap the year, and also to our producers, Jessica Curtis and Pam Wentworth, and also to George Wright. I'm Dave Anthony. Have a safe and happy new year.
The British are coming! The British are coming!
That's right, and Semmel Vineyards is bringing the London cabs to the North State. Riding in a British cab is a special treat, and you don't have to go to England to do it. Just call on Semmel Vineyards at 530-474-5546 or First Class Limousine, 530-605-0137. Schedule that special trip on the town, to your favorite restaurant, or a tour of the vineyards. That's the London cabs at Semmel Vineyards at 530-474-5546 or First Class Limousine, 530-605-0137.
Hello, Americans. You know what the news is. Now you're going to know the rest of the story. This is Paul Murphy for Alliance Heating and Air Conditioning. To reduce energy costs, Alliance Heating and Air Conditioning will show you a new high-efficiency system that can save you money. Call Alliance Heating and Air Conditioning for a free estimate at 221-2642 or visit us online at homecomfort.org. And that's the rest of the story. Good day.
When I think holiday season, I think big. Big gatherings, big gifts, and big decorations. Wouldn't it be nice, though, if this season big meant win big? At North Valley Bank, it can. Beginning November 19th, each time you use your North Valley Bank debit card for purchases, you're automatically entered into a drawing to win great prizes. On December 4th, five winners will receive $100 cash. On December 18th, five more will get $250 cash. And on January 15th, five lucky winners will receive a 37-inch LCD HD TV. The more you use your card, the more chances you have to win. Don't already have a North Valley Bank debit card? No problem. It's easy to order. Just stop in or call any branch location. Start shopping and you might win big this holiday season with North Valley Bank. Member FDIC. No purchase or account required. See official contest rules on our website for more details. Campaign ends January 14th, 2013.
Fox News is brought to you now on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center.
Top cardiovascular hospital in the nation, Shasta Regional, treating people well.
Fox News Radio, I'm Jared Halpern.
The vote, the yeas are 89, the nays are 8.
It wasn't until a little after 2 a.m. the Senate signed off on a fiscal cliff solution. The House now meeting to consider the tax and spending bill. Fox News Radio's Mike Makowicz has the state of play live in Washington.
Well, now that the Senate has passed it, the job is selling it to the House. Republicans meet at 1 p.m. to discuss it, and shortly Vice President Biden meets with House Democrats to explain the deal that he helped broker. On the GOP side, Jeb Hensarling of Texas says it does too little on spending.
And regardless of what's in this deal, it doesn't take care of the spending-driven debt crisis that, unfortunately, could lead us down the road to being Greece one day.
Many Democrats grumble the deal gives up too much on taxes, which now go up on incomes over $400,000 for individuals, $450,000 for couples. But they like that unemployment insurance will be extended a year. Jared?
Mac, doctors are giving Secretary of State Hillary Clinton a good prognosis as the former First Lady continues to recover from a blood clot discovered this week. The clot is in her head. It formed after the Secretary...